Well, good morning, Knowwood. It is great to be gathering with you. My name is Pastor Matt. I'm one of the associate pastors here at Knowwood. Pastor Nate's actually preaching at Forest City Bible Church this morning, so be praying for him as he brings God's word to that congregation. We have a great relationship with them and their pastor there, and so be praying for him as he brings the word. We're going to be continuing in our Hard Issues series this morning. And this morning we're going to be in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 to 9, as we talk about anxiety. And as we're talking about that, it hits me real hard already because preaching is not something that I always do naturally. I often get pretty anxious and nervous. So this sermon is for myself already. But when I was younger, I'd actually get nervous a lot over a lot of things, a lot of different things. Often I'd get stomach aches, and I'd feel sick to my stomach, and I'd get really nervous. I remember a time at summer camp. It was my own issue because I ate way too much candy because they had a tuck shop, and you could just buy a bunch of snacks and treats and candy. And, of course, I bought, tons of Skittles because they're good. But I got sick, and that made me get really anxious because then I didn't like being sick, and then I felt homesick, so that made me more sick. And then I think I started crying, and my camp counselor, took me aside and chatted with me, and I felt better, and it was fine. But for a while, I got incredibly anxious and worried, and my mind started to race and started to go, and, I thought about all these different scenarios of what could happen. Maybe my parents were going to forget me, and they were never going to get me from camp, and I'd be stuck here forever. Right? Irrational, crazy, and yet as a kid it made sense to me, but it wasn't. I got anxious, but I remember reading much later in my life about Christians who were martyrs. They got killed for their faith, and in facing something as scary as death, not, sickness at a summer camp, but facing death, they had this great peace. I remember reading one story, there was a guy who was burned at the stake, and jokingly to those who were killing him, he said, "You can turn me over now because this side of me is done." What humor and peace he had to make a joke while he is dying for his faith. Others that you can read of are singing hymns to God as they're being killed for their faith, praising the Lord. What a peace that they have. You can read about Stephen, one of the first martyrs for sharing the gospel. As he's being stoned, he's praising God. He's proclaiming the gospel, and he's forgiving those who are throwing stones at him. What a peace he has in an incredibly anxious time. How are they so at peace when faced with such an overwhelming circumstance? That was a question that I was asking myself as I was reading that. Reality is we are in a fear-ridden world. Anxiety is continuing to rise. Yet God calls us in his word to be a people at peace, to not be anxious. At the time of writing to the Philippians, Paul was actually imprisoned. He was facing persecution for his faith, and so was the church in Philippi. Paul knew that unity in the church was vital and that fear and anxiousness could quickly tear that unity apart and the gospel witness that they had. The reality is unaddressed anxiety will actually lead us to sin and defection from God and his will for our lives. A big question is, have you ever not done something you know God wants you to do because you were too anxious? And so the question is, how do we find this same peace amidst anxiety? Well, let's turn to God's word, his truth to us, as we've been talking about. We need to be a people of God's word. We need to come to him as he speaks to our hearts. So let's read from Philippians 4, starting in verse 4. Philippians 4 says this: "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. This is the word of the Lord. Praise be to God. Let's pray together, church. Holy God, humble our hearts this morning. God, may we stand in awe of you, your holiness, your majesty, your power, as we hear from your word this morning. God, speak to us by your Spirit. God, your word is truth, and may we see it rightly as that, Lord. We pray you grant us a hunger for your word, God, for your truth. Lord, guide us in wisdom and understanding that we would know the meaning of this text and how it points us to our hope that is in Christ Jesus. Lord, may it increase our love for you and for one another. And Lord, help us apply this passage to our lives today that we'd be changed by your word, through the working of your Spirit, that we'd be obedient followers of Christ. God, ask you to help me to preach your word with boldness and with gentleness. God, that you would be centered. God, that you'd be glorified as you continue to save and sanctify your people. God, do a mighty work that only you can, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, as we start in Philippians 4, verse 4, when we're thinking about anxiety, it's interesting what Paul actually starts us off with when he commands this church. Paul says, rejoice. Seems odd. It seems backwards. Rejoice. I'm scared, I'm anxious, I'm fearful. What do you mean, rejoice? But he says, rejoice. He calls a church to rejoice. This rejoicing isn't just an exclamation of excitement. It's not just like, woohoo. It's a state of being. Be rejoicing. Be always joyful. It's not just a feeling that we feel, but it's an action that one takes. This rejoicing is a joyful contentment. It's a state of being content and joyful, specifically centered on God. Rejoice in the Lord always, Paul says. It wasn't just a feeling of joy, but a joyful action of worship to God. In the hardship, in the suffering, in the persecution, they are to be rejoicing. And this is not something that would come natural. And so Paul reiterates, again, I say, rejoice, to make sure the people in the back hear it. Again, I say, rejoice. Because even in this situation, they are to rejoice. Paul knows it is to be possible, as he himself is doing that. It is the appropriate response as we look to what God has done amidst times of anxiousness and fear. Paul, like I said, who is currently in prison, he's facing an execution. He knows his time is not long. He says that he is rejoicing earlier on in the Philippians, in this letter, because even in this situation, he's recognizing Christ is being proclaimed. His focus isn't on the things that are happening, but on the mission that God has given him, to go and make Christ known. Because he knows the God he serves. God will turn this out for his good, whether that be his deliverance and continued ministry or death and glory with God. Imagine, church, that we had that same heart that Paul had. Regardless of what happens, may the name of Jesus be proclaimed. May the gospel go forth. May God use it for his glory. It gets me emotional, which isn't a difficult thing. I'm a creative person, so we cry all the time. But when I see people right here in this room worshiping and praising our Lord in song, in prayer, I see them praying with other people, I see them listening to Scripture, it brings such a deep emotion, as I recognize that some of you are going through very difficult situations, yet you are rejoicing in the Lord because you know the hope that you have in Christ. That's what Paul is talking about. That kind of heart attitude. For me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Even in the darkest of times, the glorious truth of the gospel should bring rejoice to our hearts, mixed in with the tears and the lament that God calls us to. He doesn't call us to just push things aside or to dismiss things, but he calls us to come to him in honesty and to recognize all that he has done. Paul is one who is trusting in the Lord, and he will be rejoicing. And I don't know about you, but I don't always wake up in the morning wanting to rejoice. That's not always my first action. You know, to sing a song of praise. Often when I wake up, I just want to go back to bed. I want to sleep more. But the Philippians were facing real pressure and persecution, and yet Paul is saying, rejoice. This is all God have to say, really, through the Apostle Paul to us, right? In the hard times, in the anxiousness, worship me, praise me, for I'm worthy of it. But God gives us so much more as Paul continues on in his letter to the Philippians. Verse 5, he says, let your reasonableness be known to everyone. Paul calls the church to be reasonable. Other words for this would be being gentle, being kind, being gracious. Anxiousness can quickly lead us to not be this way. Anxiousness can often cause us to pull away, to be unreasonable in circumstances, to not be focused on being kind and gracious to others, but it becomes self-focused. When I'm anxious, I'm often not gentle, but I'm on edge. I'm looking out for myself. I'm often thinking or acting in an unreasonable way because there's so much going on in my head. I get overwhelmed. I keep talking and talking and talking and thinking through stuff. It draws me from looking upward to God and outward to others and instead inward to myself and what I want and how I feel. But then this becomes a witnessing issue because we are not being a reasonable, gentle, gracious, kind people. If we are resting and truly believing in the God who has all things in his hands, if we're rejoicing in the Lord who saved us from our sin through the gift of Jesus, our reasonableness is a testimony of those truths that we proclaim to others. Those who are in the church, those who are out of the church. A Christian's life ought not to be marked by fear and anxiety, but rejoicing and reasonableness. In fact, if we are to give into anxiousness, we likely won't witness at all. Why'd we go and talk to others about Jesus? We're too worried about all the things that could go wrong. Anxiousness leads us in the opposite direction when we allow it to rule our lives. And so Paul calls the church to be rejoicing in the Lord and to be reasonable. Yet we all know that there are times when intense anxiety comes, and that's the last thing that we want to do. And so how do we combat that? Well, at the end of verse 5, beginning of this new sentence, Paul says this, the Lord is at hand. Rejoice in the Lord. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Or the Lord is near. This is the truth that Paul points to before calling us to not be anxious. The Lord is at hand. God is near. And I think if we are rejoicing, if we have our minds in the right place, gracious and kind, gentle, we'll recognize this truth. God is near to us. Whom and what are we to be afraid of if God is near? Because I think when it comes to our anxiousness, this truth may be the one that we most often forget. This is the one that doesn't come to mind quickly. But the reality is that God isn't far off. The time is coming when Christ will return and call us home to eternal life with him. We have this hope for those whose faith is in Christ. God is also near to us personally. He has made his home in us. The Holy Spirit calls us his temple. And so Paul is calling the church to recognize God for who he is. That he is good, that he is faithful, that he is sovereign, he is holy. That we are made not for our own glory, but for his. And so this requires humility. And in 1 Peter 5, verses 6 to 7, Peter also talks about our anxieties. He starts off that section actually with this phrase, humble yourselves. Humility helps us when it comes to our anxiety because it makes it not about us, but about God. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. Often we say that last part, cast all your anxieties on him because he cares for you. But humble yourselves is the first part. Because when we humble ourselves, we'd recognize that we can't do this on our own. That we need God. That he is the one who is in control. To combat anxiousness, to come to God and cast our anxieties on him, we must have humility. A humility that leads us to depend on God and to trust him. To know that he is near, to know that he is our peace. Psalm 34:18 says, "The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit." The Lord is at hand. Humble yourselves, therefore, before the one who created you, who knows you, who is in control. So in verse 6, Paul continues, "The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything." Knowing that God is near leads Paul to emphatically command the church to not be anxious in anything. That covers everything. Don't be anxious in anything. It leaves no room for excuse or trying to work our way around. Paul's very clear, don't be anxious in anything. Well, Paul, what about when, you know, these soldiers come in and they start to take some of us away? No. Don't be anxious in anything. Paul's echoing Jesus' words to his disciples in Matthew 6:25. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. What will you eat? What will you drink? Nor about your body. What will you put on? Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Do not be anxious about anything." He continues, "But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Do not get anxious in anything, but in everything, pray to God." I love the phrasing that is. Be anxious in nothing, pray in everything. Come to God in prayer. Not just when we're feeling anxious, but even before we get anxious. Even the things that are starting to build up in our hearts, our minds. Even when we just are waking up in the morning, come to God in prayer. When we're going to work, come to God in prayer. In everything, come to God in prayer. Because this isn't just the Christian cliche of, you know, pray your problems away. This is true understanding of who our God is. Paul is serious about this. And we need to understand what this anxiousness is that he's talking about and why it's such an issue in the church and what it actually means to pray to God with thanksgiving. Because I think we often think of it as, I'm feeling anxious, God, take this away. God didn't take it away. He hasn't heard me. He's not near. He's not listening. And that's not true. So what does it mean when Paul says, don't be anxious? What's at the core of anxiety? Well, anxiousness is really a restlessness. It's a lack of peace. It can be felt physically, mentally, spiritually. Paul's not saying don't be concerned for anything. That'd be apathy. You just don't care at all. That's not what Paul is saying. Paul wants us to care. Care for the right things. Concern for the right thing is good. There's going to be times where we're in a fear-ridden world. There's going to be danger. Right? That's how God has made us. If we're in danger, our bodies will actually react in a certain way that we can act accordingly. If there's a hungry lion making its way towards you, don't be a hero. Run. Unless you're David and you're really good with that slingshot, because he had pretty wicked aim with that. So the lion wants to eat you for lunch. So yes, that anxiousness makes sense. But that's more of a concern, right? That's good. That's good fear. Be scared of that. You know, if your kid's running out on the street, there's a concern for their safety. You're going to act accordingly. There's going to be danger out there. And so that's not what Paul is saying. He's not saying, don't be dumb, essentially. Don't try to face a lion. It's also not saying that we won't experience an anxiousness for things. Right? When facing the cross, Jesus felt a deep agony. It was a true deep threat. The gospel's account of Jesus in Luke 22, verse 44, it says, in being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Again, see the connection. Agony, God, Jesus goes to God in prayer. And his sweat became like great drops of blood falling to the ground. In Mark 14, he says, my soul is very sorrowful, even to death. The anxiety should not, however, be the compass that guides our life. That's when the anxiousness becomes an issue, is when it takes over, when it takes control, when we start trusting in what our anxious minds and hearts say as opposed to the truth of God and who he is. When it becomes our idol, our God, and when it leads us to seek our own decisions and desires, void of God and what he calls us to do. Sinful anxiousness is concerned that is blown out of proportion to a point in which it's restless. It's a lack of peace, and we stop trusting God. Your mind will start playing with your heart. Your heart starts caring more about all the what ifs, what could happen, as opposed to what is. It starts caring more about what is out of our control than the one who is in control. It's not rejoicing, it's not reasonable when we no, God is at hand. It doesn't allow the church to be the church. This is when anxiousness becomes an issue. How would it look to an outsider coming in to see a church rampant with fear and anxiousness when they claim to have a God who is sovereign, powerful, faithful, and true? Right? It affects our witness. Often, our anxiousness can come out of a few root issues. Ultimately, it's a mistrust. We don't trust God to be able to do something. Or it's maybe a control issue. Things are out of our hands and we want to try to get a sense of control over it. We don't trust God to be in control. We lack humility. We have a sense of pride. We want to do things our way. And that makes us anxious. Sometimes we're just unprepared. Or we're overstimulated. We haven't taken the time to prepare and think through, to pray. We're trying to do things on our own. We're so packed with stuff that things are out of our hands and our control. So much is going on, we don't have the time to healthily think through things, to do what God has called us to. Sometimes it is just straight up fear. The most common one, I think, being the fear of man. I wrestled with that a lot this week, actually. Because I know this is a tough topic to talk about. Fearing what others will think, what they'll say. What if I look foolish? What if I say something wrong? What if they don't agree with me? What if they get upset with me? What if, what if, what if, what if? Right? It builds. And it starts causing us to look inward as opposed to upward. So the issue arises when it leads us to disobedience, to mistrust, to seeking control, and disregarding God's will for our lives. So how do we not fall into the mistrusting anxiousness? Big question to ask is, what are we doing before those anxious feelings come? And what are we doing when they come? Because as Paul said, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Paul calls the church to come to God in thankful prayer for everything. Come to him honestly. Let God know your heart and call upon him in supplication. That idea is requesting, calling upon God to do something. I think a lot of us often, again, think of this just being a classic Christian cliche of, you know, one prayer just fixes all things. God help me in this. It's sort of just a duct tape solution. It doesn't really help us in our anxiousness, but I don't think Paul is lying here when he's saying, don't be anxious, pray in everything. You know, maybe you've tried and you said, I've already done that, and guess what? I'm still anxious. But the goal isn't to not feel anxious, but instead allowing God to walk with us through that anxiousness. That in that anxiousness, we turn to Him. That we don't let that anxiousness run wild. And that even before it comes, we go to God in thankful prayer. We have to make sure our heart and our will are in the right place when we come to God in prayer. It's not about what we want. It's about what God calls us to. It changes how we pray when we come to Him humbly. It changes how we pray when we come to Him, not just asking Him for a bunch of things, but coming to Him in thanksgiving. It's coming to Him honestly, casting our cares on Him, because He cares for us, making our requests known to Him in honest surrender and reliance. Because a prayer isn't just take this anxiety from me. Humility should lead us to say, along with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. In Luke 22, I think Jesus' prayer in the garden is a perfect example of what this kind of prayer looks like. Father, if it be your will, remove this cup from me. Father, if it be your will, remove this anxiousness from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. God, if you want to use this anxiousness in my life, to be a gospel witness to other people who are maybe struggling in that, let me go through this trusting in you so that I may help others walk through anxiousness as well. Not my will, but yours be done. We can look to Jesus, who said those same words as He was facing the cross, as He's facing death, as He's facing becoming a substitution for our sin, as He's taking that upon Himself, dying in our place. Not my will, but yours be done. This is what it means to pray and make our requests known to God, yet with a humble heart for His will to be done. When we pray like this, we won't go on worrying. When we come to Him with thanksgiving, the thing is that we have to let go. There's a famous YouTuber. YouTubers do some crazy things, man. And so he had a friend who was free-falling in the dark, because the friend was talking about how he didn't fear anything, ever. He was never scared. And so he brought him through a whole bunch of different challenges to see if he would get scared. He had him free-falling really high up. It was in the middle of the night. It was super dark. You can't see down. You have no idea what's down there. The funny part is that it's always the friend, too. It's not like the main YouTuber. He always gets his friend to do something crazy and dangerous. But the friend didn't know it was at the bottom to catch him. He simply had to trust his friend to say, you'll be fine. He had to push a button, the floor was going to go out from under him, and he was just going to fall into nothing. This is the praying that Paul is calling us to do. Except, we are to come to God knowing that there is a net to catch us at the bottom. Because God is faithful, God is certain, God is good, God cares. He hears us, and God works things out for our good, for those who love Him. But we need to let go. We need to fall into the loving arms of our Heavenly Father. Martin Luther said, pray and let God worry. Reality is, God doesn't worry because He knows. But I think it's a great truth for us. Pray and let God worry. Let God deal with it. We simply are called to pray and trust in Him. We pray with thanksgiving. We're to entrust ourselves into the peaceful hands of our glorious God by thankful prayer. When it comes to God, even in the hardest of times, there is something to be thankful to God for. I feel like if we took the time, we don't have the time, but we could just keep going. List after list after list of what we are thanking our Heavenly Father for. We shouldn't run out of things. We'd be here forever. Our prayers and supplications, the things that we call upon God to do, must flow from a thankful heart, for He has already done the greatest thing by saving us from our sins. We recognize our peace and hope isn't founded in our circumstances, or ridding our life of the things that make us anxious, but in the God who is near, the God who knows, the God who gave, and the God who saved us. There was a night where my wife and I were facing some difficult decisions and circumstances, and there was anxiousness. I could tell that she was restless. She wasn't falling asleep. There's things going through her mind. There's things going through my mind. And, you know, instead of rationalizing and trying to dismiss it or trying to make calculations and figure it out on our own, we let Philippians 4 just take us through the situation. We went to God in prayer, and we just took turns thanking God for something. Thank you, God, for your grace to us. God, thank you, God, for our family. God, thank you, God, for our church that loves us. God, thank you for the beautiful creation that you've made. God, thank you that you hear us, that you're near to us. God, thank you for your love to us. God, thank you for the hope of eternity. God, thank you that our hope isn't in the things of earth, but in the things of heaven. And on we went. The more we thanked God, the more my heart was worshiping him and forgetting the anxiousness, because it was being filled with truth of who our God is. I was being reminded of the truth of the gospel and the peace that it brings to our restless hearts. This praying shouldn't keep us worried, but should lead us to the peace of God. I think so often we pray, and then we still think. We keep trying to figure things out. God, help me with my anxiousness, and then we keep trying to figure things out on our own. That's not what Paul is calling us to do. He's calling us to pray and to let God worry. And so, we pray, we come with thanksgiving, we make our request known to God, and Paul continues in verse 7, the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. This is a peace that goes beyond understanding, because it allows us to face even death with a peace, a hope. A peace that maybe doesn't make sense to us all the time, and yet we still have it. In the face of death, we have a peace. It's a state of well-being amidst circumstances of pain and suffering and difficulty, and the world doesn't understand it. And yet we have a peace that goes beyond our own understanding, because we are with God through Christ. Paul points the church to the gospel. That it's in Christ Jesus that our hearts and our minds are guarded from anxiousness and filled with the peace of God. This peace is what guards us and protects us from the lies of the devil, of our own sinful and depraved hearts, trying to figure things out, or what the world says or wants, and he roots it in the gospel of Christ. God's peace guards our hearts and our minds in Jesus. Jesus has saved us from our greatest need, our sin. What do we have to be afraid of? We are separated from God. We are far from him, deserving of his righteous judgment for our sins. That's the scariest thing you could ever face. Yet Jesus came to take our sin upon himself and pay the price for our sin. God's wrath and judgment. Jesus died in our place, but he rose again, showing the sacrifice to be sufficient. There is nothing more that needed to be done. That whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. Relationship with God restored again. God is with us. God is our Father. We are his children. And it's through faith in Jesus that our hearts and our minds are guarded with this peace, because we can know him as our Savior, as our Lord, as our friend. Romans 8 says it perfectly. What then shall we say to all these things, all these troubles, all these issues? If God is for us, who can be against us? Right, we sing it with that one song, God is for us, neither height nor depth, neither life nor death. Nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus. We have a peace with God, and that peace guards us. But our prayer should lead us to take action, to think and live in this peace. We have a peace that guards us, but we also have a peace that is with us. In verses 8 and 9, Paul calls the church to think and to practice. This praying isn't just something that will happen, but it's a result of ongoing life resting in Christ, loving God with our hearts, our souls, our mind, and strength. Paul calls them to think of all of these things, whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, lovely. If there's any excellence or if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Because I think it's often our minds that become the issue with anxiousness. Our minds just go crazy. We try to keep rationalizing and figuring out and deciding what to do. We fill our minds with worry. Quickly, our minds can be overwhelmed and become fearful of what we don't know or what we can't control. And so, Paul calls the church to fill their mind with the good things of God. This is why it's vital for us to be people of God's word. Often, if I'm having conversations with people who are dealing with a lot of anxiousness, I often talk to them about, how's your time in God's word? What are you filling your mind with? How do we fill our minds with the truth if we aren't in it? In fact, that's what Paul begins with, is the truth. Whatever is true, fill your minds with the truth of God's word. Because that's what combats the lies that we often speak to ourselves when we're anxious. We often let the lies take hold over the truth that God has given us. Paul talks about it in Romans 12, do not be conformed to this world, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Our minds need to be renewed because it's so easy to fall back on our own sinful ways of doing things on our own and not trusting God. And so he calls them to think about these things. Think of God. Think of his word. Remind yourself of the gospel. Fill your mind with those things and filter all things through that. If you're feeling like God is far off, be reminded of the truth that God is near. If you're feeling that God doesn't care, be reminded of the truth that he cares for you greatly. If you're fearful that God doesn't love you, be reminded that God's love is great for you. If we have our mind filled with these things, there isn't much room for the anxious thoughts to take space. It's already filled with the truth of God. A good question to ask is, what is on our mind more? The things of God or something else? What do we talk about more with other people? Are we talking about, you know, what we saw on social media? Are we talking about our, you know, the next movie that we went to watch? Are we talking about what we've been learning in God's word? What we've been praying about? What people can be praying for us in? What are we praising and thanking God for? Are our minds and hearts filled with the good things of God? So he calls them to think of these things. But Paul doesn't just say this to them without doing it himself. He then calls them to look at the example that he is giving. And again, he's been imprisoned. He's gone through a lot. He's been stoned. He's been beaten up. He's been cast out. He's been shipwrecked. He's been imprisoned. He's been in chains. And all the way, he's trusting, rejoicing, and making much of Christ. And so he calls the church to look to the example that he has given. Paul has endured many hardships and yet remained faithful to the mission of the gospel. He's found contentment doing all things through Christ who strengthens him. Paul has exemplified an anxious heart that's resting and trusting in God by continuing to do what God calls him to, despite the anxiousness and fear. At this time, he's facing death, yet he is writing of the peace of God that passes all understanding. What an example to us that Paul knew this God of peace. As he ends this section, he says, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things. Look to the example that I am showing you, and the God of peace will be with you. God is near, the Lord is at hand, and he is a God of great peace. Through the gospel, we know this. We see this. That relationship with God restored us at peace with him. Well, as we end this time together, I pray that we see that God's peace that is always with us guards us from our anxious mistrust. I think there's ways that we can combat this anxiousness as we look to Philippians 4. The first one is to rejoice over running away. Instead of running, we focus on rejoicing in the one, the God, who will be with us in and through the anxiousness. We're called to pray over panicking. We're called in all things to come to God in prayer. I encourage you to come to our prayer meeting that's happening next Sunday. It's a great time to have our eyes fixed on what God is doing as opposed to getting worried about all the things that are going on around us. Let us be a people of prayer. We're called to have humility over being haughty or being prideful. Humble yourselves and come to God with thanksgiving, recognizing our need for Him in these times of anxiousness. Don't make it about yourselves. Come to God. Bring the focus back to Him. We also have to preach ourselves the gospel. In our own devotional time, we must see the Christ connection that we see in the passage that we're reading. Be reminded of what God has done. Sing songs that point to the gospel and make much of God, because it's the gospel that holds us firm in the peace that we have through Christ. And at times, have others preach the gospel to you. Sometimes our hearts don't have the strength to preach to ourselves, but that's why we have brothers and sisters that can remind us of what Christ has done. I pray that we would recognize that God's peace is always with us and that it guards us from this anxious mistrust. Let Christ be our cornerstone. Let us praise and sing this last song, giving glory to Him. I'll call the worship team up and let me pray for us, church. Heavenly Father, God, I pray that you speak to our anxious hearts. God, I pray that we would not make this about ourselves. God, that we would not turn inward, but God, turn upward. God, that we'd have our eyes fixed on you, that God, we'd recognize who you are. God, that we'd be people in your word, being reminded of your truth. That God, in the anxious times, we'd come to you in prayer. God, before those times even come, may we come to you in prayer. God, may our hearts be filled with thanksgiving, thanking you for all that you've done, God, who you are. God, and ultimately may our hearts, minds, souls be fixed on the gospel of what Christ has done. God, that we are saved by the amazing grace that we receive through faith in Christ. God, if there's someone here who does not know Christ as the Lord and Savior, God, I pray that they would turn to you now in faith and repentance from their sins, God, into the glorious grace that you offer in Christ. God, I pray that there's some who are here that have put their faith in Christ, God, this would be a reminder to them of the glorious truth of the gospel. God, speak to us by your gospel into the anxious hearts that we have. God, that we'd be a people not of fear, but of rejoicing, of gentleness. God, of praise to you. Our minds, our hearts renewed in the glorious riches of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name.